Good morning. Good morning to everyone online and to everyone here. So this morning's scripture, as up above, is 2 Kings, and basically it's the whole chapter. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. His mother's name was Jedidah, daughter of Adiah. She was from Bozkath. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in all the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. In the 18th year of his reign, King Josiah sent the secretary, Shaphan, son of Azaliah, son of Meshullam, to go to the temple of the Lord. He said, "Go up to Hilkiah the high priest and have him get ready the money that has been brought into the temple of the Lord, which the doorkeepers have collected from the people. Have them entrust it to the men appointed to supervise the work on the temple. And have these men pay the workers who repair the temple of the Lord, the carpenters, the builders, and masons. Also have them purchase timber and dressed stone to repair the temple. But they need not account for the money entrusted to them, because they are acting faithfully." Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the secretary, "I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord." He gave it to Shaphan, who read it. Then Shaphan the secretary went to the king and reported to him, "Your officials have paid out all the money that was in the temple of the Lord and have entrusted it to the workers and supervisors at the temple." Then Shaphan the secretary informed the king, "Hilkiah the priest has given me a book." And Shaphan read from it in the presence of the Lord. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his robes. He gave these orders to Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam the son of Shaphan, Achbor the son of Micaiah, Shaphan the secretary, and Isaiah the king's attendant, "Go and inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all of Judah about what is written in this book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that burns against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book. They have not acted in accordance with all that is written there concerning us." Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam, Achbor, Shaphan, and Azariah went to speak to the prophetess Huldah, who was the wife of Shallum, son of Tikva, the son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. She lived in Jerusalem in the second district. She said this to them, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Tell the man who sent you to me, this is what the Lord says. I am going to bring disaster on its place, on this place and its people, according to everything written in the book the king of Judah has read. Because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods, and provoked me to anger by all the idols their hands have made, my anger will burn against this place, and it will not be quenched. Tell the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says concerning the words you heard. Because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I have spoken against this place and its people, that they would become accursed and laid waste. And because you tore your robes and wept in my presence, I have heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, I will gather you to your fathers, and you will be buried in peace. Your eyes will not see all the disaster I am going to bring on this place." So they took her answer back to the king.
Thank you, Beth, as always, for that fine reading of God's Word. Before I begin, I just want to make a quick apology for those of you who are watching online via live stream, or those of you who are here. You can see that on every slide today, we have the logo of the company that we use to set our slides up. You can see it says Easy Worship up there in the background. So that's going to be on every screen. Hopefully you just ignore it. It won't be there next week. We'll get rid of it. But this week, That has been on every slide, and we just can't get around it. We didn't have time this morning to fix that. All right. Well, we are going to begin a new sermon series this morning. I want to begin by asking you guys a couple of questions. And the first question is this. I want you to go back for all of you, actually, go back to when you were maybe 7, 8, 9, or 10 years old, sometime in that time frame. And the question is, has your mother or father, did they ever ask you to stop doing something and you didn't stop? And then 2 or 3 or 4 minutes later, they asked you to stop doing it again, only this time their voice had changed and you wished you had noticed the change? It's good to know, friends, when it's time to change, isn't it? It's good to know when your boss says to you something like, if you are late one more time, you're out of here, you're done. It's good to know if he really means it, isn't it? Well, we're starting a sermon series today on change. And over the next 4 weeks, from 4 completely different perspectives, we're going to look at the topic of change or transition. Now, the fact is, we all live north of Boston. And whether you know it or not, you live in one of the most fast-paced cultures in the world. Right here north of Boston, the east coast of the United States. Change is around us all the time. We live in the midst of change. It's inevitable. And in this part of the country, it even as part of our culture, just is always so fast, change is happening every day. So change is something that we should be very accustomed to. But the fact is, it's been my experience in life that very few people like change. Most people resist change. Well, I got to tell you, the staff here at Living Hope is in 100% agreement that we need to make some changes. In fact, in 2023, I would dare say that we need to make some radical changes here. Because it's your senior pastor's opinion that if we don't, 5 or 10 years from now, we're going to be a church of 15 people, everyone over 70 years old, making no difference in the community, with a nice building that we can't afford and a nice parsonage we can't afford, and we're going to be like lots of churches find themselves today. Now, I thought a sermon series like this at the beginning of the year would be good preparation for some of the changes that will be taking place. I mean, here we stand today with the possibility of making a huge change and becoming Netcast Church. We've been talking about this since last June is the first time Pastor Matt and I sat down and talked about this. So we're in month 7 now of this process. And I can tell you that if that happens, that will be a huge change, maybe the biggest change this church has ever made in 120 years. We will become Netcast if that happens. We will no longer be Living Hope. We will be part of them, a part of their church family. Now, in fact, if you paid attention, if you noticed on the PowerPoint this morning before the service or in your bulletin, Netcast has invited all of us, or all of you, to come over and join them on February 12th. What they have proposed is on February 12th at 12:15, the whole church go over there and join them, and the purpose is threefold. One, we get a chance to meet their staff, at least the staff that's not doing a service, because they'll have a service going on when we arrive at 12:15. So we won't get to meet that staff, but we'll get to meet the rest of the staff. They'll break us up in smaller groups. They'll give us a tour of their facility, and then they've asked us to worship with them at 1 o'clock so we can experience a worship service at Netcast so we can kind of see what it looks like there. You know, if we're going to become them, that's something that will probably be good for us to experience. So you'll hear more about this as we get closer to February 12th. But on February 12th, again, they invited us, all of us, to go over there and join them, meet the staff, see the facility, and have a worship service with them. But let me say this. Even if Netcast never happens, because I want to tell you very concretely, that decision has not been made yet. Even though we've been 7 months praying about it and talking about it, that is not a done deal by any stretch of the imagination. There's some very important meetings we're having with them on the 22nd of this month and then another one next month. that maybe will go a long way in determining whether or not this becomes real. Because if you remember, the only thing we want in this is God's will. And we've been talking to them. I've been talking to the senior pastor for 7 months. I mean, how much can we talk about this? But we want to be sure this is what God wants us to do. And if God tells us to do it, you'll hear about it. We'll propose it to you guys. But even if we don't do that, we still believe we need to make some radical changes. You know, the church in America, the Christian church in America, is doing poorly. You'll hear about that in this message. Is doing incredibly poorly. But this concept of change, don't be afraid of it. Don't let it scare you, because you live in the midst of it. You just probably don't see it going on all around you. For example, let me give you some numbers from the U.S. statistics, the U.S. Census Bureau. This is what they say. They say every day in America, 108,000 people move to a different home. And 18,000 people, their new home is in a different state than where they currently live. They say every day in America, 437 businesses go bankrupt. And 489 new businesses start up. And here's a depressing stat. They say every day in America, 6,500 couples get divorced. And they say that 12,000 couples get married. They also say that more information has been produced in the last 25 years than in the previous 5,000 years. You wonder how things seem fast-paced? Well, you have more information available to you in the last 25 years than in the 5,000 years of history before that. This one surprised me. Of all the things on this list, this last one surprised me, but this is from the Census Bureau. They say that 90% of all the items in the supermarket today did not exist 10 years ago. That's a stunning one to me. You know, I mean, I don't know how close they are, but that's even reasonably accurate. That's unbelievable. But we don't even notice those changes. They're just happening around us all the time. They also say it's estimated that 50% of every college graduate today will go into a job that did not exist when they were born. Things just change all around us. These kind of changes are taking place in every field. I read the way one man kind of encapsulated these changes, and he said it this way. He says, my great-grandfather rode a horse, but he was afraid of the train. My grandfather rode on a train, but he was afraid of a car. My father rode in a car, and he was afraid of an airplane. He says, I ride in an airplane, but I'm afraid of a horse. You know, change is happening all around us, and change is impacting the church. I hope you know this. The church in America, the Christian church in America, is in trouble. George Barner, in a recent statistic, says this. 87%, so 9 out of 10 churches in America have plateaued and are declining. 90% of churches in America are on the decline. I can totally accept that and understand that. He says that the number of unchurched Americans is at an all-time high. That over 75% of Americans are completely unchurched. So that for you, that means this. When you talk to someone in the store, at the gas station, on the job, in your backyard, there's a 75% chance they have nothing to do with church. So you have a great opportunity to witness to them and tell them about the Lord, because the 75% of them have no idea about church. It's not part of their lives. He also says that over 80% of children today are being raised with zero religious training or education at all. You know what that means? That in 5 or 6 or 7 years, you ask a 10, 11, or 12-year-old what Christmas is about, what Easter is about, they will have no clue. It will have nothing to do with Jesus. It will have to do with the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus. In fact, you talk to a lot of kids today, and that's what they think those holidays are about. The church in America, the Christian church, is in trouble. And that's one of the reasons that we are considering becoming Netcast. Because although they don't know how they've done it, they've grown from zero people 10 and a half years ago when they started to over 1,600 people today. You explain that to me. I have no idea how they've done that. I talked to their pastor. He just smiles. He says, Gene, we do exactly what you do. I says, you may do exactly what we do, but the results are different. I don't know how they do it. They don't know how they're doing it. People find the Lord every day. They're baptizing people every month. And that's one. They're one of the churches, one of the 10% of the churches that are actually going the other way. 90% of the churches are doing what we're doing, treading water at best, not making a difference in the community. Well, I can tell you that this morning, what I want to do is I want to focus on a guy in the Bible that Beth read for us. His name is Josiah. I don't know how many of you know about Josiah, but I'm going to give you some history. I know Beth read it for us, but I'm going to get rid of all the names and all the genealogies, and I'm going to just go right to the meat of what this story is about. All right? Now, Josiah, he had a dad who was a terrible role model for him. You see, his father had completely rejected all the ways of God. His father, Josiah's father, became king at age 22. Now, I'm talking about Josiah, I'm talking about his dad. 22 years old, he was made the king. And then about 2 years in office, the government officials didn't like what he was doing, so they assassinated him in the palace when he was 24. They killed him. And then what did they do? Well, they made Josiah king. He was 8 years old. They made him king at 8 years old. And you may ask yourself, what in the world can an eight-year-old do to run a kingdom? That's a good question. Well, let me tell you what was going on in Judah when he became king. So it's important to understand what was going on in his nation. Well, one of the big things was Judah was at peace. None of the neighbors were attacking. None of the neighbors were infringing on their property, which was highly, highly unusual for the history of Judah. A second thing that was going on is the economy was good. So the economy's good. They're not at war. So what does that mean? Well, it means the people got very lax in their relationship with God because they didn't need God. The economy's good. They're not at war. Basically, why do they need God, right? Well, many of the people in Judah had completely slipped away from God altogether. And throughout the country, what people were doing is they were building altars of their own. They were making up their own gods and offering sacrifices to them. In fact, parents at this time were offering up their children as sacrifices to their gods. That's what's going on in Judah. They actually built altars in the courtyard of the temple in Jerusalem. They built altars to false gods in the temple. And there were rooms set aside in the temple for male prostitutes. So all in all, it was a complete spiritual and moral disaster that was going on in the country. The people were doing basically anything they wanted to do in the name of religion. And they thought nothing of doing it. That is what eight-year-old King Josiah inherited. What a way to start your reign, right? Your father's been murdered. People think you're too young for the job, which I think he's too young for the job. Your nation is a moral disaster, and you don't have a clue what you're getting yourself into. He did not inherit an ideal situation. So what do you do? What do you do when you don't know what to do? Well, we learn this. We learn in the eighth year of Josiah's reign, that means he would have been 16, Josiah begins to seek God. When he hit 16, he said, something's wrong here. He decided to seek out God. Now, the truth is, friends, this is good for Josiah. It's good for us. If you're going to seek out God concerning a big change in your life, you know what that means? That means you need to worship God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. Seeking God involves following in the footsteps of Christ. If you're not willing to follow God as Jesus followed God, then seeking after him for advice is going to be meaningless because that's what God requires. Now, Josiah recognizes he needs to make a change. He's 16. I want you to think about his position. He's king. Nothing. He could have left everything just the way it was. The economy was still pretty good. They were not at war with their neighbors. He was 16. He had anything his heart's desired. This 16-year-old had power over. So why did he need to make a change? There was nothing going on, except something inside of him told him, you need to change. He could have left things very comfortably the way they were, but he knew something was missing from his life, and he didn't know why. Well, he seeks the Lord, and after 4 years, Scripture tells us, of seeking the Lord, it says that he was ready to step into the role that God had called him for. Do you hear what I said? 4 years of seeking the Lord. We've been seeking the Lord for 7 months with regard to Netcast. You know, maybe some of you think that, well, why wouldn't we just do it? What are we waiting for? Well, because we're seeking the Lord. We're waiting for God to tell us what he wants us to do. And when God tells us what he wants us to do, yes or no, then we will do it without question. Unfortunately, friends, some of us, some Christians spend 15 minutes seeking the Lord, and they come up with this great idea. God told them what to do, and they start moving after 15 minutes. Now, Josiah spent 4 years allowing God to work in his life before he decided to take any drastic action. Now, what I'm not saying is that you need 4 years of seeking God if you're trying to make some kind of decision in your life. What I am saying is that you may need to plan or prepare a little more before you just jump into action. Again, we're Americans living in 2023. Us to plan 4 years to do anything sounds ridiculous, right? Us prepping for 4 years, you know, us prepping for 7 months, and obviously it's gonna be more than 7 months because we're nowhere near a decision. Us prepping for a year to make a decision about Netcast may sound ridiculous. Like, why do we wait so long? Wait as long as God wants us to wait. Is that we'll wait? But here we go. We're 20 years old. Josiah says, okay, I know what God wants me to do. I'm going to start making changes. So what's he do? Well, he goes around the whole countryside, and he starts getting rid of false gods, demonic activity, the corrupt priests, and the slaughter of children. He stops those things immediately. He destroyed religious place after religious place after religious place. It took him 6 years to complete that work. 6 years to go through his whole country and take care of those things. Then, at age 26 now, this is where we are in his life, he's 26, he decides he's now going to take care of business close to home. Because he went out to the whole countryside and wiped out all these religious places, but he didn't do it in Jerusalem. He didn't do it where he lived. Now he decides he's going to do it close to home. And let me say this. It's one thing to make changes to people that live out in surrounding areas. It's another thing to make changes for people who you deal with on a daily basis. Those are two completely different things. He was going to have to deal with cleansing the temple and get rid of things that people considered sacred and holy. And no doubt there were some who felt his reforms had gone too far already. But Josiah moved ahead anyways, because he was committed to do what he thought God's will was. So he evicted the male prostitutes. He got rid of the astrologers. He made up his mind he was going to restore the temple back to what God had originally intended the temple to be. And what was that? A place of worship where God's name would be identified. So at age 26, he wanted the people of his country to make a sacrifice to the Lord. And this is what he says. It's time for a change. Look, we're going to rebuild the Lord's temple. Those of you who want to contribute, bring in your money and leave it at the temple, or give it to the Levites who are going throughout the land. So they collected all the money. They started to rebuild the temple. And a very, very, shouldn't be, but a very strange thing happened when they were rebuilding the temple and reconstructing the temple. A fellow by the name of Hilkiah found the book of the law, scripture, the Old Testament. Now, you may think, well, they were in the temple and rebuilding it. Why would that be unusual to find the book of the law in the temple? Well, Hilkiah was stunned. Can you imagine a visitor coming here tomorrow, walking into the church and going into my office or going into April's office or walking into the sanctuary and finding a Bible or Bibles and walking in and saying, I can't believe you guys have a Bible in this church. That's unbelievable. And I'd be thinking, that's a ridiculous statement. We're a church. Why wouldn't we have a Bible in the church? That should have been the same thing said about the temple. We have a temple, huge temple, built to worship God. And Hilkiah finds the word of God, and he's completely stunned. So here's this huge temple, everything under the sun going on in it, and there's no copy of God's word. Well, what had happened is Josiah's father and his grandfather, they had so departed from God that they got rid of everything about God in the temple, including God's word. This was a huge find. Well, Hilkiah gave the book of law to a guy by the name of Safan, who told him to take it to the king. Safan took the book of the law to the king. By the way, you know, Josiah's never seen the book of the law. He doesn't know what it says. You know, he gives it to the king. The king reads a few pages of the book, and he immediately at that time says, it's time for a change. He's not even quite sure what he's reading, so he calls his cabinet together, and this is what he says to his cabinet. He says to them that I need someone to interpret this for me. What does this mean? Because he's never read the book of the law before, so he's trying to figure out what it means. And friends, this is another way to know if we are genuinely seeking God. When we read God's word, if something in God's word confronts a behavior of ours, we need to immediately conform to what God's word says. Immediately. Then you know you're seeking God. If you come across a behavior in Scripture that somehow confronts a behavior that you are living out, and you debate it, or you think it's not so bad, and you don't conform, don't kid yourself to thinking that you are seeking God. You're not. You're just fooling yourself. If you are seeking God, when you read something in Scripture that tells you you need to change, then you change. Instantly, immediately. When Josiah read this, even though he didn't know what he was reading, he knew they were in big trouble. It says he tore his robes. Now, when you tore your robe in this time, in this culture, it means you were in great grief. Josiah went into grieving over what he read, even though, like I said, he didn't quite understand it. And why did he do that? Because he knew that the behavior of the people and his behavior, he knew it wasn't lining up with what he was reading in God's word. And he was very fearful that God's punishment would be sent their way for disobeying God. You know, in the church, sometimes we speak so much about the love of God and how grace-giving God is, so much that we forget the justice of God. Josiah was afraid that God's judgment was going to be poured out on Judah. A lot of Christians seem to think that, well, just ask for forgiveness and there'll be no penalty. Friends, you have to go back and read the Bible. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't say, ask for forgiveness and everything's okay. That's it. It's all over. Bible never says that at all. Bible says exactly the opposite of that. The Bible says you will reap what you sow. So we have to be reminded. Josiah somehow inherently knew that the country was not living, serving God, and he was very concerned, even though he tore his robe and he repented, he was very concerned about what was going to happen with regard to God's judgment. So he gets all his cabinet officials together and he says this, go inquire of the Lord for me, because we are in a lot of trouble for all the wrong our fathers have done with their disobedience to the word of God. God's anger is poured out on us on this matter. Now, I want you to notice something. The king's cabinet, they get together, they brainstorm, who are we supposed to go see to interpret God's word for the king? And they come up with a woman by the name of Hilda. Now, this is not what my message is about today. It's a little rabbit trail, because the church still debates what role women should have in ministry. You know, what should they have the authority to do? What can't they do? Friends, let me say this. When it comes to God, God used whoever he wanted to use to do ministry, period. Man, woman, child, Old Testament, a donkey, if you know that story. So I can tell you, friends, when it comes to God's commandment and his direction, God is not a respecter of persons and says, I got to have a man do this. No, we do that. We, human beings. Hilda was the number one person in the country to go to if you needed to have the word of God explained to you. She was a female. And the king's desperate to hear what she says about God's word. And this is what she says to the king. She says, God says, look, I'm going to bring such a disaster on this place, it will be incredible. The people got rid of me as their God, and they lived in defiance of my word. But what I told them would happen is going to happen. But because you humbled yourself and tore your robe and wept in my presence, I will not do it in your lifetime. Wow. Recognize what's happening here? Josiah, by his personal faithfulness to God, is holding off a disaster for others by choosing to live right. What's that mean for you? This is one of the reasons it's good to know when to change. Could you be holding off a disaster, maybe for some family members, because you've chosen to live right before God? Maybe the only reason the enemies weren't pouring into Jerusalem to take them over, because they were constantly fighting decade after decade after decade. Judah was in war, but they're not at war right now. Was the only reason they're at war is because Josiah the king was faithful and was going to remain faithful and had tried to repent? Friends, maybe we need to be faithful because we don't know how many people we are holding off disaster and giving them an opportunity to accept Christ. It's happening here. God doesn't say, I'm never going to work that way again. It probably still works that way. So Josiah, though, when he gets this word, remember, he's already been told, in his lifetime, it's not going to happen. God is not going to come down and rain disaster on Judah because of your faithfulness, king. So he knows he's okay. So what's he do? Does he sit back and say, oh, that's cool? No. He immediately takes action and says to the country, we need to change. He says to everyone in the country, listen, everyone, we all need to change. Now, we can't go back and undo 2022 here at Living Hope. We can't do that. No, but we can certainly make a difference in 2023. Josiah had everyone come together, and they read from the book, the Word of God, and they read to all of them what he had read. And then he said this to the people. He said, now I pledge to follow the Lord and keep his commands, regulations, and decrees with all his heart and all his soul, and to obey the words and the covenant written in this book. And he asked all of his people to do the same. And they listened. They got rid of all the idols and detestable things that were in their households. They got rid of all the mediums, the fortune tellers, all those personal household gods they were holding on to. And as long as Josiah lived, they never failed to follow the Lord. So thank God that even when things were going well, Josiah recognized it was time to change. Friends, I talk about change. Things aren't going poorly here. You know, you guys are a church. You love each other. There's lots of good things. We have money in the bank. You know, you have a much larger staff than a church this size probably should ever have. And they love you. Things aren't going poorly here. Okay, but I see a time down the road, if we don't make changes, where things are going to be going poorly. You know, I'm going to I was going to retire in March. That's 2 years from now. That was a year ago. My plan was to retire in March. And when this whole thing, when Netcast came up, Matt said, Gene, you can't retire. If you're going to retire in March, I'm not even going to talk about doing this. That we can't do this without you being there and transitioning us into this. And he says, so you've got to commit to stay there if we do the transition. And I said, well, I will commit to stay there for a year, which will be a year from March. I says, and up to 2 years, depending on what's going on, depending on how much patience my wife has, we're moving next to the grandkids and all that, but I would guarantee a year. And he said, I think we can deal with that. He said, I think that'll be enough time to transition. Of course, we don't know if this is ever gonna happen, and we don't know if the transition is gonna happen 12 months from now. Maybe it won't even happen till a year from March. I don't know, maybe God doesn't want me here for the transition. There are so many unanswered questions, but we'll keep you informed and keep on praying. And if God tells you what the answer should be, come and tell us, all right? God doesn't have to use only the staff to say what his will is for a body of believers. So any of you get a direct word from God and you're sure it's from God, come and tell us. We will listen. Because what we want is God's will to be done. And God can choose to use anybody. Because we have a title next to our name doesn't make us any closer to God than you. I hope you understand that. All right. So the scripture says this in 2 Kings 23:25. It says, neither before nor after Josiah was their king, was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did, with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his strength, in accordance to the law of Moses. Friends, in 2023, this is what I believe about change. I still believe there are marriages that can be saved that are on the ropes right now. I believe there are some youth that we could help get on the right path that are not on the right path right now. I believe there are some lonely people that we can encourage, that need some encouragement. I believe there are some addicted people or addicts that they are crying to be set free. I believe that there are people all around us who need Christ, who want to be saved, and no one's telling them about Jesus. No one's talking to them, and they're not going to church. So they don't hear anything about Jesus. They don't even know what it means to be saved. Those people are all around us. If the numbers are right, you know, 9 out of 10 people have no clue what it means to be a Christian. That's a lot of people. There are still hungry people around us that we can feed. There are still differences that we can make here in 2023, no matter what we do, whether we do it with Netcast or without. That's not even the important part. The important part are we in the center of God's will. That's all that matters. Are we doing what God asks us to do? So let me ask you a question. Have you turned to the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength today? And if not, friends, it's a good time to change. Will you get the most out of your change and do it today? I believe that we need to change. I'm asking you, will you join us on mission to change? And when I mean change, I mean I want to be a place that is an incubator for new birth. I want to be a place where people all over Beverly, whether they agree with us or not, they know what we stand for. I'm okay if they disagree with us. That's their choice. What I'm not okay with is they don't even know what we believe. Because that requires us going out there. Because they're not going to come in here and hear it. We've got to go out there and tell them what we believe. When you go to work, you've got to tell people that you go to church. And when they ask why or what's going on, you've got to be ready to share that with them. And don't be afraid. You don't need all the answers. You don't have to be a theologian or a scholar to answer those kind of questions. You already have 100 times more information than any of them have. You're going to sound like a scholar when you talk to them. If you say, do you know that Jesus Christ came and went to the cross to die for your sins? And that you can have all your sins forgiven? You've already told them 100 times more than they know. And all of you know that. So you all have enough information to be a missionary, an evangelist. on mission for Jesus Christ here in the Beverly area. We don't know exactly what the end of 2023 is going to look like. I would propose to you it's going to look different than it looks right now. I don't know how much different it will look in here. I don't know how much different the sermon, the services will be. Maybe not different at all. I think our services are pretty good. I don't know that we have to change a lot about our services. But I do know we have to change a lot about our lives. And that all of us need to make a commitment that Josiah made. That I'm going to follow the Lord with my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I'm going to do everything that he asks me to do without reservation, without question. It's going to be an immediate yes to everything that the Holy Spirit impresses me to do. No arguing, no complaining, no saying it's not important, it's not a big deal. If God impresses you to do something or not do something, it's a big deal. Stop or start. Right away, immediately. So, we're going to be looking at this topic for the next 3 weeks and hopefully get your mind set on change, and hopefully you agree with us. Because like I said, the church staff is unanimous. We need to change. Hopefully, you're thinking the same thing. You've heard about Netcast for several months now. Hopefully, you're thinking the same thing. And whether it's them or something else, this year is going to be a year of change here and probably transition. Because more than likely, it will be my last year as your senior pastor. And I'm guessing that will be a good thing. That God's not going to say, no, that's going to be a bad thing. No, God doesn't. If God tells me it's time to retire, it's time to retire. That's a good thing. All right, let's pray together. Father, I thank you, God, for your word and how we can see change in the midst of everything taking place in your word. And when Jesus comes to earth and walks among us, boy, he radically changed the concept of what it meant to worship God. And he challenged idea after idea after tradition and wanted the people to worship you in spirit and truth. And Father, that was radically different than the way they were doing it. So I pray, God, for us. I pray that we, over these next several months, God, can grasp the change you want us to have, and that we would immediately say yes, God, to whatever that change would be. And that being obedient, God, that you would bless our efforts, whatever they are. And that we would be in the center of your will, God, knowing we're in the center of your will. And we would leave the results to you, God. Whether we're meant to be a church of 5,000 or a church of 50, God, we're okay with either one as long as that's what you want. So help us, God, to live in the center of your will, to worship you in spirit and truth, God, to obey your words the very best we know how, God, and to live as ambassadors for Christ wherever we go. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. It's time for our offering, time to give back to God some of what he's given to us. Every offering time is an opportunity for us to worship God and express our love for him in a tangible way. But God, being so good, has designed it so that when we give to him, it also functions like planting a seed, which we produce a harvest of blessing in our life. And there is a saying by Longfellow, who is one of my favorite poets, "Give what you have to someone, it will be better than you dare to think." Ushers.
Father, we acknowledge you are the only King forever. Father, we come. It is the end of this time that we would call organized worship. And I pray, God, that the worship that we experienced here for this last hour or so, that we would continue that throughout the week. And no matter what the world throws at us, Father, that we would worship you in spirit and truth in every situation. And in doing so, God, that we would have an example to tell people about our Lord and Savior, that we would have opportunity, God, to point people to you, and that we would respond, God, with an immediate yes to your Holy Spirit's prompting. So thank you, God. Thank you for times of encouragement like this. I pray, God, we'll remember these times when the world tries to discourage us, tries to tell us this isn't real. There's no such thing as God. Father, we know different. Help us, God, to live a life that's an example of that, and that others around us would recognize that, and we'd make them curious to want to know why. So thank you, God. Be with us as we leave this time of worship, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.